This week on Young Money Radio, being able to pay for college tuition is an issue every student worries about, no matter what their financial situation. Respected financial and college planner Michael Franzblau has developed strategies and tactics that alleviate the financial burden and stresses on students and parents. Students at all income levels should be able to afford college, and he has combined strategies and his years of experience into one program to assist every one of them. All this is coming your way next. It's your life right now. Welcome to Young Money Radio.
We are honored to be joined by someone who's doing such good work for so many people across the country, parents and young people, college students in particular, and those headed toward college. Our special guest is Dr. Michael Franzblau. It is a great book called Tuition Without Tears, Powerful New Strategies to Make Sure Your Family Can Afford College. And it's much more than a book, we should say. First of all, Dr. Franzblau, it's a complete program, correct?
It is, Mike, and thank you for having me on. I developed this after working with families for about 20 years up in the New York area, trying to help them figure out how to pay for college, which was a tremendous challenge for me with my three children at the time. And what I discovered was that there's a huge amount of information out there. You can get it on the web, you can buy books, but nobody's really organized it in a way that's useful and accessible. And as you know, Mike, it's a college degree has really become the minimal credential for success in America. I mean, I think it's really the master's now. Yeah. But we have to really widen access to college. I believe that if in a really rational society, we would make every attempt to get as many kids as possible. Everybody who could qualify should be able to go to college. And that's not really the situation right now. So Tuition Without Tears is an attempt to give parents a way to actually create a college funding plan, hopefully when their kids are young, and avoid a lot of the pitfalls that the people discover are facing them when they start planning when their kids are in high school. So I'm very happy with this program. We're getting some good reaction to it, and I've been using it for a very long time.
Well, it's good to have a plan, a program that takes you step by step. And I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that may be one of the biggest stumbling blocks for parents out there, is that especially when a child is born, and I know you write about the fact that it's very smart to start early, and I think a lot of parents deep down know they should start early doing some things, but are maybe confused about exactly what to do. So maybe they procrastinate and sometimes procrastinate too long. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. And I think the pressures of just ordinary daily living, raising children, paying the bills, is just overwhelming for many people. So they put it off and they put it off and they put it off. I know that we really didn't consider our own college-bound kids how we were going to pay until they were in high school. And we were kind of blindsided by it, but we were very lucky. We figured out some strategies and it all worked out. I think that the real issue here is not just to create a plan when your kids are young, but to build safeguards and backups into that plan so that no matter what happens in your future, in your life, whatever goes wrong, and a lot can go wrong as we know, your plan will work anyhow. It's very much like the way NASA acts when they send the space shuttle up, Mike. They put perhaps three computer systems on board, not just one, because if two fail, at least they want those astronauts to come home. And I think that a really good college funding plan, if parents understand how to do it, and that's what Tuition Without Tears really does for people, it gives them a blueprint and a workbook and a way to just actually concretize what they have to do. If they go through this program, they will be fully protected against all kinds of calamities that can strike a family, death, disability, loss of job, illness, and so on, that can really derail your college funding plan. We teach people how to repair their credit and maintain excellent credit so that when the time comes to borrow, if they have to borrow, they can do that at the best rates. We teach them strategies that perhaps they never heard of. I can go into a few of them later, which can really reduce the cost of college. We teach them how to that they have to have the proper wills and trusts in place in case something happens to the family. So it's really a complete plan. It's basically, if you go into the book and the workbooks, which is called the Personal College Planner, there are 22 worksheets that you fill out corresponding to the different chapters. And it's very much as though you had 8 meetings with a very smart financial planner. So you come out with the plan. And imagine doing this when your kids are little and knowing that you're doing everything you possibly can. I think one of the very, very big issues here is that parents do not know, do not find out early enough how financial aid works. I know that one of your kids is going to college, and I'm sure you filled out the financial aid forms in this month. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So how was that experience?
Oh, brother, like doing taxes.
Yeah,
in fact, it was exactly like doing taxes.
Well, it's very much like pulling teeth. And this is kind of the best kept secret, I think, in the whole financial aid system. The government has available something like $130 billion of financial aid. But people don't understand that they can take steps to increase their aid eligibility. The way the system works, just very briefly, is that when it comes time to pay for to apply for college, you fill out a federal form called the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or the FAFSA. And what that does is it measures your income and assets and your kids' income and assets. And it's kind of a formula that figures out your ability to pay for college. And then what happens is sometime in the spring, I guess you'll be getting this student aid report pretty soon, you'll find out how much you are expected to lay out for college. That's called your expected family contribution. Now, that contribution could be easily affordable for you, or it could be more than you thought you were going to have to spend. And then it could also be that colleges that your kid gets into are much more than your expected family contribution. So let me give you a concrete example. Let's say a family fills out the FAFSA, and discovers that they're expected to put out $10,000 next year for college, but college costs $30,000. Well, in theory, the financial aid system will make up that difference. Your kid will qualify, your family will qualify for $20,000 of financial aid. It's not that simple. There's a lot of factors that come into play about whether you'll get the aid, whether you'll get it at the particular college, and so on. But the point is, Mike, when would you like to find out this number? When do you think the best time would be to find your expected family contribution?
20 years ago.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So if you go to our website, tuitionwithouttears.com, you can find a very easy-to-use calculator that can give you your expected family contribution today, as though your kids were going to college tomorrow. And the wonderful thing about that is that that gives you a planning target. For example, if you know that you're going to be expected to put out $20,000 a year, assuming everything stays the same between now and when your kids go to college, you can figure out your potential total cost of college. And it's not going to be the tuition and fees of the expensive colleges. It's going to be what the system expects you to pay. So now you have a savings target. Then you can take all kinds of steps to make yourself eligible for more financial aid. So it's really a matter of, I think you said it before, having a little kid looking at your spouse and saying, honey, it's time we've really got to get started on this process now, because it's too important. Our kids have to go to the best possible colleges. They have to be able to compete. We have to, and this is the really serious part, we have to retire on time. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I think that college funding is a retirement decision that parents make unconsciously, Mike. In other words, they want to send their kids to the best possible colleges, and they kind of disappear the fact that at some point they're going to have to recover from paying for college and still retire. If they don't think about that up front, they could have a very nasty shock waiting for them.
Yeah, and that is a big dilemma for many, many families as we get into the later high school years, and then we could be right into college and get hit with that ice water. Dr. Michael Frenzblau is our guest. He is the author of Tuition Without Tears. The website is tuitionwithouttears.com, and there is a personal college planner, as Michael Frenzblau mentioned, which is really takes you step by step, completing worksheets. And as you mentioned, too, that even if you do this when your child is 2, Michael, doesn't necessarily mean you're done. I mean, things change financially year to year. So you really, it is, once you create that foundation, I guess it's something you'd want to update at least once a year, correct?
That's a very good point, Mike. Yeah, you cannot sit back and say, now I've done it. You have to update it. You have to take this very, very seriously, the way you take your taxes seriously every year. It should become a routine part of your annual planning all the way through your kids' lives. And if you do that, you will be the envy of your friends and neighbors because you will have a plan that's not going to bankrupt you. And it's very, very exciting. I give a lot of lectures and do a lot of planning with people, with couples individually. And I'm always amazed to see, you know, really, really smart people, successful in their careers, who haven't the foggiest idea of how the financial aid system works or how colleges actually award aid. This is not hard stuff. It's not rocket science, but it does take some time and energy. And I'm so happy that we're talking about this because I think that in our country, the gap between rich and poor and successful and unsuccessful really starts at birth, and it broadens every day of a child's life. And the only remedy, the only way to close that gap and give people opportunity is education, not just college, but a good K-12 foundation, and then perhaps graduate school. And we must give everybody access. And I think that the government certainly tries to disseminate this information. I don't know if your listeners are aware of the new College Cost Reduction and Access Act of 2007 that President Bush signed a few months ago.
I was going to ask you about that. Absolutely.
Well, that's a really interesting change. I mean, I think everybody's kind of waking up to the fact that for America to stay competitive, we've got to educate everybody. And what this act is doing many, many things, and I guess we could talk about different pieces of it. It's reducing interest rates on Stafford loans. It's giving, and I think this is perhaps one of, to me, the most exciting thing. It's changing the way people students or graduates will have to repay student loans. There's something called income-based repayment, which is a feature of the act, which says that if you graduate from college with debt and you go into a helping profession, a socially valuable profession such as teaching or medicine or law or social work, the amount of loan repayment that you'll have to do each month that you'll be responsible for is capped at a certain percentage of your income above the poverty level. So it's much, much easier for people. It will be much easier to go into a profession where you might not start out at a very high salary like teaching. I taught for 20 years, and I know I had a wonderful career. I taught in high school in Westchester County. But I started at a very low salary, and if I were paying back student loans at that point, I never could have done it. So this act is really, I think it's really going to help people.
Big help. Dr. Michael Franzblau is our guest. The book, the website is Tuition Without Tears, Powerful New Strategies to Make Sure Your Family Can Afford College. This is Mike Sciano. More with Dr. Franzblau straight ahead.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
We're back on the program, and we're very happy to have you here. Our special guest on the CreditBooster.com guest line, where all our guests appear, is Dr. Michael Franzblau, Ph.D. Tuition Without Tears is the book, Powerful New Strategies to Make Sure Your Family Can Afford College. There is the Tuition Without Tears Personal College Planner, and we'll give you an updated details on that coming up, as well as the website and software. Dr. Franzblau. Now, is that an audio book, or does that contain? Tell us a little bit about the software, the CDs that come with the package that I received. Does that come with the book normally, or is that an additional the CDs?
The CDs are part of the package. They're really it's a kind of a slightly abridged version of the entire book on CD, so you can listen to it in the car. It doesn't contain software. The software is all on the tools and resources page of our website, tuitionwithouttears.com.
Got it.
And there's a number of calculators. You know, I think that one of the things about the program that people are telling me is extremely useful is the breadth of the program. In other words, it's not just how to save for college, which it includes. It's not just how to borrow for college, but it's really deeply how to protect yourself while your kids are growing up and how to protect your family. I've been a financial consultant for about 23 years, and you know, not everybody has college-bound kids, but everybody has the same danger facing them of a death or a disability or a lawsuit or an injury or loss of employment or downturn of the stock market or changes in tax laws. You know, nobody has a crystal ball, Mike. You just can't look into the future, so you have to build in backups and redundancies into your college funding plan just the way you build them up into anything that you do. And what I really like about this is that if you've repaired your credit and kept it excellent, you can borrow at the best rates. And by the way, borrowing for college, you know, there are many ways to do that. There are parent loans, and there are student loans, and there are equity loans, and there's refinancing a mortgage. And some of these ways are tax advantage, and some are not. But if you can borrow at even 1% lower because you have good credit, you can save thousands of dollars in interest costs over the course of a loan. So protecting yourself, learning about the loan possibilities, making sure your will is in place. You know, I'd really like your listeners to know that you cannot ignore the fact that nobody has a long-term, you know, guaranteed lease on life. And if a parent dies or both parents die during the time when their kids are small, without a will, without the proper trust, without the proper insurance, it's very possible that those kids won't go to college or they won't go to the right college. So you have to build these backups into your plan. So what we do is we take people through the entire process. It's like you're meeting with a financial planner 8 or 9 times, sitting down for a few hours each time and going through all of your assets and liabilities and all of your protections and looking at your credit, and then figuring out what strategies you can use to reduce the cost of college. Maybe I'd certainly love to tell you about a couple of strategies that we've come up with, which I think are perhaps not unique to Tuition Without Tears, but very, very useful.
Yeah, we need to get to those because I'm sure everybody would want to hear those. Very important anytime. And we're hearing more and more about the rising cost of college. Every year we see the numbers come out, and they can be pretty scary for a family who has not planned. Do you find too many families just hoping and wishing for scholarships that will take care of college, otherwise not doing any real planning?
I find that more and more. I think that the pressures of ordinary life and the uncertainties in people's employment make it really hard to put away money and do a diligent job, do a really good job of planning. But there are things that you can do. And, you know, I just want to tell people it's not that hard. I think the single key idea, just to reiterate, is to find out where you fit in the financial aid system. And find out today. Go to our website, you know, and take the time to measure what your expected family contribution would be if your kids were going to school tomorrow. For example, it's possible now for a family making over $100,000, perhaps $150,000, to qualify for financial aid under certain circumstances. You have to know what those circumstances are. You have to know, for example, if you have more than one kid in college at the same time, you have to know that your expected family contribution, the amount of money that the government wants you to put out for college, is spread over those children. I was giving a talk at one of the large companies in the Wall Street area a few months ago, and I explained this idea, and some woman jumped out of her seat and said, "We have triplets." So let's say that this, and everybody laughed, because that's perfect college financial planning. If you have kids in college at the same time, for example, this woman will have 3 in college. Mm. Let's say that the system tells her, gee, you make too much money, you're going to have to put out $45,000 a year for college. Well, that $45,000 contribution that that woman and her husband must make is spread over 3 children, so it's $15,000 each. If college costs more than the $15,000, financial aid will probably make up the difference. So their out-of-pocket will still remain $45,000. I want to say, having said that, I want to say it's not quite that simple because colleges vary in their financial aid practices. You may be eligible for $20,000 of aid, Mike. First of all, you might not get it in the form of grants and scholarships. You might get it in the form of loans and work study, and your kids will have to pay back the loans. It's not necessarily bad, but you should know whether a college gives most of its aid as grants and scholarships, or does it give more loans and work study? So not only that, but if your kid is a very desirable student, aid package is going to be more attractive. Colleges do discriminate. They won't admit it, but they actually do, through a process called leveraging, where they try to get an incoming freshman class that maximizes the academic quality of the class and maximizes the number of dollars that those kids are going to contribute. So, you know, you have to navigate through the system, and you just have to be smart about it. You know, when you buy a new car or any purchase, you take the time and you kick the tires, you visit several dealers, you get on the web, you compare. You've certainly got to take that kind of time and attention, pay the attention when your kids are going to college. I'll tell you one strategy that's come up recently. My wife is a professor of dance at a local community college, Westchester Community College, an excellent two-year college in the New York area. And what's really fantastic is that kids can go to that college and pay $4,000 a year, and even then, certain of the government tax grants, the Hope Scholarship credit, can pay a lot of that tuition each year, up to maybe $1,650 if you know how to apply and you qualify in income. But after you graduate from a college, a community college like Westchester, you can then transfer to a four-year college. And these community colleges have agreements with, in this case, dozens of four-year colleges, state colleges and private colleges in the New York area, who will take the credits. So now you go to Westchester for 2 years, and then you transfer to a state school where the tuition is, you know, probably $7,000 or $8,000, but you get the degree from the state school, and you've saved the differential tuition. Another way to look at that strategy is to start at a state school. One of my families had a son who did this, started at a state school, spent 2 years, and then transferred to New York University, which is an excellent private school in New York City, really top-notch, and ended up paying 2 years of the more expensive tuition and so saving the differential. So that kind of a switch, especially, you know, Mike, so many kids change their majors or drop out in their junior year. It's over 50% of college students really didn't know what they wanted to study when they started college. And the parents look at each other and say, boy, that was a waste of money. So the two-year college where you kind of find yourself and doesn't cost very much, and then gives you access to the four-year college, is a tremendous buy, in my opinion. And nowhere on the four-year degree does it say that you spent the first 2 years at a different college. So that's my favorite strategy of the month.
A lot of kids are using that strategy, and it really makes a lot of sense with so many kids going to school these days. And I guess getting into some schools is just becoming very, very difficult. I guess entrance into college, Dr. Franz Blau, is that affected by the amount of financial aid a student may need? For example, if you apply at a college, are they already looking at how much financial aid you may require and maybe making decisions about accepting students based on that as well?
Mike, it's such a great question, a really important question. The answer is unfortunately yes. It's that leveraging matrix that I talked about. I mean, just put yourself in the position of an admissions officer. And this is your choice. You have a marginal student who requires who qualifies for $20,000 of financial aid if you accept him or her. Right. On the other hand, you have these four pretty much well-off, bright kids who only need, the word, and they'll come to your college. Mm-hmm. So you have the choice of giving $20,000 in aid to this first student or $5,000 in grants or scholarships to each of the four more attractive students who will then pay the rest of the tuition. What would you do?
Right.
That's facing every applicant at a private college, and I think in almost every college in the country is now kind of using this leveraging matrix. And, you know, private colleges are in business. I mean, there's just no sure. question about it. There are some notable exceptions. Last week, Harvard announced, you may have seen, your listeners may have seen this, I just wrote an article about this for my newsletter, Personal Coach Plus, which you can get on the website. What Harvard is doing is they're trying to reach out to the middle class, and they define the middle class as families with incomes of $120,000 to $180,000. And what they're doing is if your kid gets into college and you're in that income range, they will cap your tuition at 10% of your gross income and make up the rest with scholarships, not loans. So they're really trying to open up access. And it's not just Harvard. There are a lot of the Ivies have done this. Many are substituting grants for loans in financial aid. And it's very interesting. When you have a $35 billion endowment, as Harvard does, I mean, you can calculate the interest income on that. It's pretty high. Right?
It's incredible. It's
certainly billions of dollars a year. This is going to cost Harvard about $120 million more to make this available.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if colleges are kind of anticipating government action that's going to force them to dip into their endowments and give more aid. Maybe this is kind of a preemptive strike on the part of these colleges.
Well, around this announcement, I've heard a lot of different points of view on it. And one point of view, and I'd like to get your take on this, is that like health insurance, the cost of going to college has continued to escalate because people tend to use money that's not theirs, or a large portion of the money that the cost to go to college comes from a loan or scholarships or somewhere other than from your pocket. So you lose touch with the real costs. And those who are charging the fees, the universities and colleges, are getting this money, you know, the money's available out there. And so it's just like with the medical profession, they can kind of keep boosting the prices up. Is there a scenario that you see there where it gets out of control, it gets out of hand?
Well,
maybe we're seeing the beginnings.
Some time ago.
Yeah, we're seeing the beginnings of it maybe with Harvard finally.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, I went to Columbia in the 1950s, and the tuition and fees were $800. And it was and we couldn't pay it. My family couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
I got a little Regents scholarship for $250, and I worked at a laboratory at an IBM lab, and I was a physics major, so it was really a good fit. And it worked fine. I commuted to school. That same education is in the mid-40s now, 40,000. It's gone up 55 times for exactly the same education. There really has been no incentive for colleges to keep down the costs. And I think maybe the public reaction, I mean, this College Cost Reduction and Access Act is basically, you know, I think the way this is being funded is it's taking money from private lenders, from the subsidies, and redirecting it to the public, which is a very smart thing. But I think behind all of this, we just have to act as a nation to give access. It's just vitally, vitally important for us to be able to remain competitive. So it's a very, very good question. The other thing about this is that even though there may be scholarship help and all kinds of financial aid for college, there are no scholarships for retirement.
Right.
So
exactly.
I just want to reiterate that. You've got to think ahead. By the way, on our website, tuitionwithouttears.com, anybody can go without even buying the product, although I hope they do because I think it's a wonderful program. But you can go and sign up for something called Personal Coach, which is a month-by-month email reminder system from the time that your kids are in kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. And every month you'll get an email reminding you what you should be doing financially to help your college plan, and also academically, what kinds of things you can do to help enrich your child's educational experience. So I remember, you know, you're in the process of sending a kid to college. You probably have a refrigerator covered with Post-it notes of when the SATs, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had hundreds of notes. Well, the personal coach can eliminate all that. It can really be your reminder system. So I want to make sure that people know they can go to the website and sign up for that.
That's a great service, and the website is full of great resources, information. The book is Tuition Without Tears. Dr. Michael Franz Blau, the author. The workbook is Personal College Planner, and there's also the book on an abridged version of the book. Looks pretty comprehensive. On CD, so you can turn your car into a rolling university, which is pretty awesome as well. Dr. Michael Franz Blau, the book is Tuition Without Tears, and the website, again, is tuitionwithouttears.com. We highly urge you to visit the site and take advantage of all of the programs beautifully put together, Doctor. And we thank you for being so generous with your time today.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, Mike, and good luck.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
This edition of Young Money Radio was made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation and Young Money Magazine. This program is available for listening on the internet 24/7. Young Money Magazine is a publication of the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization. For questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at radio@youngmoney.com. I'm Daniel Jimenez. On behalf of our producer, Eric Bundy, our host, Mike Sciano, and everyone else here at Young Money, Thanks for listening and enjoy your life right now.